Hey, it's Brad Milkey, host of ABC's daily news podcast, Start Here. And I'm honored to say Start Here, along with several ABC audio projects, are up for Webby Awards. Voting is open to the public, and we're all really excited about these awards, but this vote closes on Thursday. So please don't wait. You can go to abcaudio.com/webbies. That's abcaudio.com/webbies, W-E-B-B-Y-S, to cast your vote for Start Here, along with other ABC news shows. We really appreciate it.
Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. The president in Florida with Governor Ron DeSantis. Also breaking news tonight involving North Korea, what they've just done. And the college student murdered at Purdue. First tonight, President Biden on the ground in Florida, his joint appearance with Governor Ron DeSantis. DeSantis saying we're cutting through the red tape all the way to the president. The president saying what DeSantis has done is remarkable. And what the president was later heard saying picked up by nearby microphones. Mary Roos traveling with the president. That breaking news involving North Korea a short time ago launching a new ballistic missile test after that missile launch over Japan that sent many running for cover. And tonight, the mishap during a joint U.S.-South Korea exercise meant to be a show of force. Martha Raddatz with late reporting. The developing headline tonight from Purdue University, authorities investigating the murder of a college student in his dorm room. His roommate is under arrest. Tonight, Alec Baldwin and producers reaching a settlement with the family of cinematographer Helena Hutchins, shot and killed on that set. As part of the settlement, her widower will now be an executive producer on the movie going forward. But does this change potential criminal liability? Chilling new video showing the apparent kidnapping of four family members in California, including an eight-month-old girl. Tonight, a suspect in custody, but where is the family? The war in Ukraine, and even as Vladimir Putin signs Russia's so-called new territories into law, tonight here the new images. Ukrainian forces gaining ground in some of those very territories, Ian Pannell, in Ukraine. In the U.S., gas prices in the months ahead. Tonight, OPEC pushing ahead with the biggest cut in oil production since the start of the pandemic. Cecilia Vega tonight. In New York City, who was the mystery man spotted running along the rooftops, jumping from one to another? And making history, Aaron Judge, his 62nd home run. And what about the man who caught the ball? How much is it now worth?
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening. It is great to have you with us here on a Wednesday night. And we begin tonight with a rare image in these times, the president and a Republican governor who many believe would like to be president. Both in Florida today, both pledging to work together, both complimenting the other on the efforts so far to help millions in that state. The president and First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden, on the ground in Lee County, Florida, greeted by Governor Ron DeSantis and Florida's First Lady, Casey DeSantis. The governor saying they have cut through the red tape, and that means all the way to the president. Both couples meeting with emergency responders and residents. The president saying the governor has done a good job and that there is just one job and only one job to give Florida everything it needs. And tonight the images say it all. The need is staggering and widespread. This is hard-hit Fort Myers Beach a week after the hurricane hit. You can see so many homes destroyed, millions in the path of this hurricane. The death toll climbing well above 100 lives lost now. And late today, the new reporting, what was picked up by nearby cameras, what President Biden could be heard saying. Our senior White House correspondent, Mary Bruce, leading us off, traveling with the president tonight.
President Biden today traveling to Florida to see for himself the devastation of Hurricane Ian. Putting politics aside, meeting with one of his harshest Republican critics, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, a man many believe hopes to be the next president.
Today, we have one job and only one job. And that's to make sure the people of Florida get everything that they need to fully, thoroughly recover.
In a rare moment of bipartisanship, DeSantis praising their cooperation.
We are cutting through the red tape, and that's from local government, state government, all the way up to the president. So we appreciate the team effort.
Biden describing what DeSantis has done as pretty remarkable.
We have very different political philosophies.
There's a long way to go here. The National Guard delivering water and aid from Fort Myers to Pine Island, where search and rescue is still underway. The island had been completely cut off. Bernard Tomsey telling me his neighbors were stranded.
We're just working people. and they can't get off the island. They have no water. They have nothing.
But just a few hours later, a temporary crossing opening up. Slowly, the long process to rebuild now beginning. ABC's Victor Okendo out with Team Rubicon, a volunteer group of highly skilled military veterans.
We're in Port Charlotte, north of Fort Myers, where residents have been waiting for help for days. Ian brought this massive tree down, blocking this house. The good news? That help has arrived.
They're shoring up homes and clearing out debris. Local officials grateful for the help. Cameras capturing the president joking with the mayor of Fort Myers Beach in an unguarded moment.
Thanks for everything. Thanks for coming down. We appreciate it. I'll keep the food.
Getting attention late today. Mary Bruce with us live from Fort Myers. Mary, unclear exactly what the president was talking about there, but getting far more attention for most of this day. All of those images of the president and the governor pledging to work together, already working together. And of course, Mary, it's not lost on anyone that this is the president and the governor who many believe wants to be president.
David, a pretty remarkable moment. The president and one of his biggest Republican rivals putting their differences on hold in a public way, now agreeing on one thing, that for the sake of the people here in Florida, they have to work together. But with the midterms now just 34 days away, it's unclear tonight how long this political ceasefire will last. David.
Mary Bruce, live in Florida, leading us off. Mary, our thanks to you and to Victor Okendo tonight. In the meantime, to the breaking news involving North Korea, a short time ago, we learned launching two new ballistic missiles after already launching that missile over Japan that sent many running for cover. Tonight, there's also news of a mishap during a joint U.S.-South Korea exercise meant to be a show of force. So what happened? Martha Raddatz tonight with late reporting here.
Tonight, North Korea launching two short-range ballistic missiles. It comes as the U.S. is sending the aircraft carrier Ronald Reagan back to the region as tensions increase after Monday's launch over Japan left citizens scrambling for cover. South Korea and the U.S. responded with a show of force, but tonight an embarrassing malfunction. A South Korean missile plowed into a military base during a live fire drill with the U.S., turning it into a real live fire. There were no injuries, but South Korea didn't even acknowledge the malfunction until hours after social media videos showed the huge ball of fire. A local lawmaker blasted the military, saying it had threatened and panicked the local population, which was not given warning or an explanation as to what went wrong.
Despite the malfunction, these U.S.-South Korean exercises are expected to continue while that U.S. aircraft carrier heads to the waters off of South Korea, bracing not only for more North Korean missile launches, David, but a possible nuclear test. David?
Questions about where this heads next for sure. Martha, thank you. Now to Indiana, back here at home tonight. Authorities are investigating the murder of a college student at Purdue University, killed in his dorm room. Police say he was murdered by his roommate and that fellow students woke up to screams, the suspect calling 911 himself. Here's Stephanie Ramos.
Tonight, a suspect is under arrest in the murder of a Purdue University student. Authorities say 20-year-old Varun Manish Chetta, a senior, was found with stab wounds in his dorm room early Wednesday morning.
One roommate has attacked another with a knife. Still trying to obtain a room number.
According to authorities, Chetta's roommate, 22-year-old Ji Min Shah, placing a call to police reporting the incident. The junior and international student from South Korea then arrested on a preliminary murder charge.
Neither one of them were asleep, and I believe this was unprovoked and senseless.
Purdue University assuring students the campus is safe, releasing a statement saying that an investigation is underway, adding, "This is as tragic an event as we can imagine happening on our campus, and our hearts and thoughts go out to all of those affected by this terrible event."
A preliminary autopsy report shows Chetta suffered multiple sharp force traumatic injuries. A vigil is being held on the campus tonight. David.
Just an awful story. Stephanie, thank you. There was news of a settlement today in the wrongful death lawsuit against the producers of the movie Rust. Those producers include actor Alec Baldwin. The suit, after cinematographer Helena Hutchins was accidentally shot and killed on set. Well, tonight, her widower, as part of this settlement, will now be an executive producer on the movie going forward. Here's ABC's Zoreen Shaw tonight.
Tonight, the widower of cinematographer Helena Hutchins reaching a proposed settlement in his wrongful death lawsuit against Alec Baldwin and the producers of Rust. Matthew Hutchins saying in a statement, "I have no interest in engaging in recriminations or attribution of blame to the producers or Mr. Baldwin. All of us believe Helena's death was a terrible accident." The amount of the settlement, undisclosed, but the producers announcing filming will resume in January with the original players and now with Helena's husband as a new executive producer. Baldwin's attorney saying, "Everyone has maintained the specific desire to do what is best for Helena's son. We are grateful to everyone who contributed to the resolution of this tragic and painful situation." The district attorney's office in New Mexico today saying the settlement will have no impact on the ultimate decision whether to file criminal charges. Just weeks ago, she asked the state for more funding to cover a possible prosecution of four people, including Baldwin.
The fact that this settlement comes shortly after the DA's announcement that charges are seriously being considered is interesting, but I think that this may have just been the normal process.
A recent FBI report found the gun could not be made to fire without a pull of the trigger, apparently contradicting what Alec Baldwin told ABC's George Stephanopoulos.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So you never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them, never.
After watching that interview, Matthew Hutchins said he was angry that Baldwin didn't take responsibility.
The idea that the person holding the gun causing it to discharge is not responsible is absurd to me.
But tonight it would appear that husband has not only settled with Alec Baldwin, but is joining the production as an executive producer. As for the criminal case, the DA says if the facts and evidence warrant charges under New Mexico law, then charges will be brought. No one is above the law. David.
Zoreen Shaw tonight. Zoreen, thank you. We turn now to the new and chilling surveillance video of the California family being kidnapped and now missing. An 8-month-old baby girl, her parents, uncle, all seen placed in a truck. Tonight, police have made an arrest, but of course, the question, where is the family? Mola Lenghi from California now.
Tonight, the emotional pleas for the safe return of an 8-month-old and her family in California.
Please help us out, come forward, so my family come home safe.
Baby Aruhi Derry, her 27-year-old mother, Jasleen Kaur, her 36-year-old father, Jasdeep Singh, and 39-year-old uncle, Amandeep Singh, were allegedly kidnapped Monday. Overnight, authorities arresting 48-year-old Jesus Manuel Salgado.
Time is of the essence. That person right now is our sole lead.
Authorities releasing surveillance video they say shows the kidnapping outside the family's trucking business in Merced. The suspect meeting Jasdeep outside, carrying a trash bag. He then puts down the bag, appears to show a gun before entering the building where police say there are no cameras. Minutes later, they emerge.
It also appears that Jasdeep and Amandeep are zip-tied behind their backs.
Jasdeep and Amandeep are then put in the back of a black pickup truck and driven off. The suspect later returns, retrieving Jasleen and baby Aruhi unrestrained before driving away. Authorities say it's the last time the family is seen on camera. Hours later, the pickup truck found on fire.
A vehicle fire in an orchard.
There are no signs of the family. Then, early Tuesday morning, investigators say the suspect allegedly uses a victim's ATM card. Authorities identifying Salgado as a person of interest. The sheriff telling ABC News that his family turned him in.
The suspect said he had done something wrong and it had something to do with the missing people.
Authorities say Salgado attempting suicide, taken into custody in critical condition. He's receiving treatment. Tonight, authorities are holding out hope that he will cooperate and that the family will be found.
We're not leaving any stone unturned, any blade of grass. Everything we have is out there.
Now, police say it is possible Salgado did not act alone. Now, he does have a criminal record, a 2005 conviction for armed robbery and false imprisonment. He was paroled in 2015, David.
All right, Mola Lenghi. Mola, thank you again tonight. We turn now overseas into the war in Ukraine, and even as Vladimir Putin signed Russia's so-called new territories into law today. Tonight here, the new images. Ukrainian forces gaining ground in some of those very territories. Ian Pannell inside Ukraine and what he witnessed firsthand.
Tonight, Ukrainian forces trying to build on their stunning advances on the battlefield, now pressuring Russian troops in the east and south of the country. Despite his losses, Vladimir Putin signing into law the illegal annexation of the very territory where Ukraine's now advancing. Also tonight, the New York Times is reporting American officials believe Ukraine was behind the car bombing that killed the daughter of prominent Russian nationalist Alexander Dugin in August. The Times report says U.S. officials say they weren't aware of the operation beforehand, provided no intelligence or other assistance in the car bombing, and would have opposed the killing had they been consulted. As Russian troops retreat, a dark picture of torture and abuse is now emerging.
We've come deep underground below a police station in the city of Izyum that was occupied by the Russians for months. And like so many areas, when the Russians were driven out, the horror stories started to emerge of detention, of abuse, and of torture. It's dark down here, it's damp, and you can almost smell the fear of the people who were held here.
Mikhailo says he was taken by Russian soldiers, tortured for 13 days and left for dead. The 67-year-old accused of passing information to the Ukrainians. He says he was electrocuted, had metal spikes pushed into his shoulders, and his arm was broken with a hammer, all by Russian interrogators.
Can you ever forgive? Can you ever forget what happened?
His answer needs no translation. And according to the UN, there are now hundreds of Ukrainians with stories just like this.
David, this feels like a critical moment in this war. The Ukrainians now have real momentum, and it's an open question whether Russia can halt their advance. And if not, what does Vladimir Putin do next, with public criticism of him rising at home? David?
The tears of that man in that hospital bed say it all. Ian, thank you again tonight. Meantime, Russia tonight joining with Saudi Arabia and OPEC, and this could very well affect gas prices here in the U.S. in the months ahead. OPEC set to cut oil production by 2 million barrels a day. Let's get right to our chief White House correspondent, Cecilia Vega. You can see she's live at the White House tonight. Cecilia, how is the White House responding to this?
Yeah, David, they are not happy about this, to say the least. The press secretary today called this move misguided and a mistake, saying that OPEC is siding with Russia on this one. And we're now hearing that, in fact, President Biden could be looking at releasing more from the strategic oil reserves, but it's really unclear how much that's going to help in the short term. As for those gas prices you mentioned, David, we're talking about parts of the South and Northeast that could see a price hike up to 15 to 30 cents a gallon. And in the West, where we've been saying for so long now, they're already paying those sky-high prices. That winter drop in prices that we typically see this time of year might not be such a big drop. You'll remember, of course, it was just this summer that President Biden made that controversial trip there to Saudi Arabia. He was hoping to convince them not to make this exact move that they made today. But here we are right now, David, tonight, those midterms just around the corner. We are staring down another gas price hike. That is a top issue for voters, and this is not what this White House wanted.
All right, Cecilia Vega on this new move from OPEC tonight. Thank you, Cecilia. When we come back here, Dr. Anthony Fauci and what he said about COVID in this winter ahead in our country, what we should be prepared for, and it's getting attention tonight. And then the incredible images right here in New York City, the man seen jumping roof to roof.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems, it's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tonight.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, Dr. Anthony Fauci on what Americans should be prepared for this winter when it comes to COVID. He said, quote, we should not be surprised if a new COVID variant emerges and that new vaccines may not be effective against it. Despite COVID cases dropping in recent months, he said winter always brings possible new cases. Scientists are tracking three new subvariants in North America and in Europe. Tonight, SpaceX making history with its new launch to the International Space Station. Astronaut Nicole Mann becoming the first Native American woman in space. She's bringing a dream catcher given to her by her mother. And for the first time, a Russian cosmonaut, part of the SpaceX crew. NASA and the Russian Space Agency continuing to work together despite the war in Ukraine. Here in New York, a man dressed in a suit, tie, and dress shoes running along a rooftop in Brooklyn, 23 stories up, jumping from one awning to another. WABC tracking him down. He says he's a contractor doing his job. Before the inspector gets there. Finally tonight, here comes the judge. Aaron Judge making history. The New York Yankees outfielder hitting 62 home runs.
The American League single season home run leader.
Breaking the American League record. His mother, Patty, in the stands. Judge rounding the bases, pointing and smiling at his mom, blowing a kiss. And here's what he said afterward.
It's a little overwhelming, you know, and it's, you know, something that, you know, I definitely will cherish and, you know, try to enjoy this moment. But I still think it hasn't really sunk in.
In 1927, it was Babe Ruth hitting 60 home runs.
Babe Ruth has set the greatest record in baseball history.
In 1961, Roger Maris beating the record by one.
Fastball hit deep to right. It could be it. Way back there.
And last night, 30-year-old Aaron Judge setting a new record. And about that home run ball, tonight some collectors already offering a reported $2 million for it. The fan who caught it telling our affiliate WFAA he's not sure what he'll do with it just yet.
What are you going to do with the ball, Corey?
Good question. I haven't thought about it.
Tonight, Aaron Judge tweeting, what a night. Such a blessing from God to share that moment with so many special people. Judge, back in Little League, telling ESPN this.
I just fell in love with baseball at a young age. You know, just the game within the game, the little chess match between the pitcher and the hitter. It just drew me in.
I was on the phone with my dad last night as this was all going down. I was surprised he stayed on the phone with me. What a night of history. Congrats to the judge. I'll see you tomorrow.